Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is Tuesday, March the 25th. Pray that you are having a great day, that you plan on having a great day, you want to step up, walk in the fullness of God's presence in your life, fulfill the purpose that He has for your life, and that you will experience the blessing of peace. May you experience the wholeness of God in every arena of your life. I'd like to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. 321-749-1432. I've told you about their full array of products and services and how they can beautify your outdoor area and make it something that you will treasure, something that you will appreciate, and that you will go out and enjoy whenever you get the opportunity. Well, I want you to know that all of that work is work. They do a great job. Whenever I have experienced them on a project, they show up, and it's not like some other jobs that I have seen when driving around the county where there's one person doing the work and four people standing around supervising. Their team comes in and bam, they just are all on board. They go and their job is to get the job done, to get it done right, and to get it done quickly. And so Treasure Your Landscape, they've been a blessing to us at the church. They have done a number of projects for us there, a number of projects for me at my house. That's how I came to meet them. And they have done a great job. If you're considering outdoor work, they're a licensed and insured family business. They are based here in Brevard County, and they go all throughout Brevard County using their skill set to make Brevard beautiful. They can create an outdoor area that you will treasure. 321-749-1432 is how you get in touch with Treasure Your Landscape. You've got something you have in mind for 2025. By the way, here not too long ago, I was having to sign and date some things, and one of my goals is to not revert back to the previous year, and so I always strive to be intentional about getting the year right. And I made it all the way into the month of March this year, and I didn't go backwards. I went forwards. I was trying to write 2025, and I started to write 2050. I missed that one little digit there. And so I still don't have 2024 on my mind, but I do have faith that God is going to continue to use me for His glory for as long as necessary. So still got a good track record of not writing 2024 so far. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. We started talking about this passage yesterday. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. That's where we're going to end reading today. So on yesterday's program, we were talking about, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. And so the spiritual upside in your life is phenomenal. I remember a person telling a story. It was in a group setting, so it wasn't something that they were just telling me as an individual. They were talking about what a great football player they had been in high school, and that they were highly recruited, that there were big-time colleges that were coming to have conversations with him, watch him play, and they went through, you know, physicals and things like that. And he said, when they came to see me, there was another player on the team, and he caught their eye. And it wasn't that he was considered to be one of the stars on the team, but they saw something in that young man that the high school coaches at that point in time did not see. And when the time came for scholarships to be offered, it was the other guy who got the scholarship that got, you know, the cream of the crop, and the person that they had originally come to see didn't get anything at all. Come to find out that in the process of their evaluation, they determined that that player that they had come to recruit to begin with had already reached the status of full development. He wasn't going to get any taller. He could get stronger, but he wasn't going to get any taller. He wasn't going to get any larger, and that was going to limit the potential that he had for making an impact on the college level as he had on the high school level. Lots of heart, but not enough upside. Where the person who got the scholarship was still in the developmental process as far as his skill set, but when they looked at his growth capacity, they realized he was just getting started. He wasn't close to being the size that he was going to eventually be. And I've seen that in my own upbringing. There were three football players. They were all the same age. They were all about the same size. They all loved to play football. They even went to football camp together. And one of them never grew much at all. Another of the two of the three is basically the same height that I am. There was a third one, and his family tree did not have much in the way of, you know, tall people or, you know, athletes or things like that. I remember his dad was teeny tiny. He was a stick figure, and having been a stick figure at that point in my life, I recognized what stick figures were. So much so that when the football coach, the head football coach, not even just a coach, they were coming to recruit this young man. And even though at sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, they were all about the same height, one of them stayed, one of them grew a little bit. This other one, this third one, grew a lot, ended up being in the college football Hall of Fame, ended up going on and playing in the pros, and ended up winning a Super Bowl. Why do I tell you that? If he had embraced at, you know, eighth grade what everybody else was embracing, and that is that you're probably going to stay in the same developmental range physically. He never would have gone on to achieve the business success, the athletic prowess that he had. Well, in the spirit realm, development is not based upon your genes. It is not based upon your DNA. It is based purely upon the revelation that you have of God. And many people have, in their development, they have settled, they have put a growth plate on top of themselves that says, look, as long as I know that Jesus is Savior, then I'm going to be content with that. And that's all I really care to know. Well, that's really not the case. Because whenever you face a physical challenge, you're going to want to know him as healer. Whenever you face a financial crisis, you're going to want to know him as the Lord our provider. Whenever you are in a difficult season, when enemies are surrounding you, you're going to want to know him as Lord my shepherd. When you are going through an emotional crisis, you're going to want to know him as the Lord our peace. Whenever you are facing opposition, you're going to want to know him as the Lord my banner and my victory. And so if you have a revelation of God, that determines how much you are going to develop spiritually. So let me point out to you what it says. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That's worded in a way my mouth doesn't want to say it. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. So our spiritual development depends upon the revelation that we have of our Lord and Savior, King, the lover of our souls, he who is our peace and our righteousness. The greater the revelation we have from God about God, it is supposed to determine the development of our spiritual character. So many people look at this and say, well, that's all going to happen whenever Jesus appears. Sandy Patty sang a song, and it's beautiful. She hits notes that, you know, I can't hit with a stepladder. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory and grace. And when that happens, the natural response to such a supernatural revelation should be that we want to become like him. Now, many people think that that's just going to happen whenever Jesus parts the eastern sky. That is not what the context of this passage indicates at all. That is not talking about a future radical transformation, which will take place. I mean, our mortality is going to put on immortality. Our corruptible is going to become incorruptible. We are going to walk in supernatural strength. It's going to be perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect peace. It's going to be a perfect environment to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. That will take place in the future. But what is being described here is that the things that we behold in Christ now manifest itself in the way that we develop now. So we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, not the way that other people have experienced him, not the way that other people have told us about him, but we get to experience it ourselves. There's a saying that says a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. when you see him. So if you see him as faithful, you're going to want to be faithful. To the faithful, he shows himself faithful. And when I see that, I realize that the revelation that I have of God is also determined by something that is already going on inside of me. So I want to know and understand the faithfulness of God. So I want to show as much faithfulness in my life as I possibly can. If I'm walking in blamelessness, I'm going to behold that he is blameless. If I'm walking in purity, I'm going to behold him in his beauty. And what happens is it ends up becoming a perpetuating development. The level of development that I already have causes me to behold him to an even greater degree of how he actually is, which leads me to become more like him. And that is what is being described here. Like I said, is not something that is just going to take place in the future, but verse number 3 says that it is going to manifest itself in the way that I live today. And everyone, not just the pastor, not just the board, not just the worship leader, not just the church staff, not just the Sunday school, but every believer, John writes to them, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, capital H, God, is pure. So what John is saying is when you're a believer, you're going to understand the purity, the perfection, the holiness of God, and that is going to be a motivating force in our life to be as much like him as we possibly can be. And I want you to know that it says everyone. And so what we see in God, what we see in his word, is supposed to be very motivational for us in our spiritual development. So I want to ask you, have we come to the place where we are tolerating stunted spiritual development? Because if we have, what we need is a greater revelation of God. So we need to get into his word and say, God, would you open my eyes so that I can see things that I've never seen before? God, would you remind me of the things that I've heard? I want to learn from the things that I've heard. I want to learn from the anointing that you have in my life. I want to know the truth. I want to abide in him. And I don't want to be ashamed when he comes. I want to know that he is righteous and that I am practicing righteousness in him. I want to live up to my spiritual developmental potential. And I pray that you do as well. So my life theme has been this. I want to do as much for God as I possibly can. And I want my children to be able to accomplish even more than that. And the only way that is possible is because they have a greater revelation. They have a more substantial foundation. And that, you know, their awareness of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit operating in their life brings them to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, that their giftings, their character, their nature sets them up to be able to turn their world right side up in a spiritual manner. So this is something that is described in verse number 3 as a hope. It's something, and again, biblical hope is not a wish upon a star. It is not an unrealistic desire that more than likely isn't going to come true. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that what you are expecting is going to come to pass. So, out of all of the things that you are hoping for, you know, some people, I saw a reel the other, you know, here a few weeks ago, and it struck me in the humorous context in which it was presented, because I have lived through that with myself. I lived through that with all of my children. And in this particular one, it was set up from a female perspective of a Christian woman who was trying to find a Christian husband, and she was setting all sorts of things out there on the doorstep that would lead a godly man into her life. And I can tell you that at one point in time, I thought I was going to be single forever. You know, when I went to Bible college, they said, look, if you are not married when you graduate, congratulations, you're going to be single forever. Well, that wasn't God's plan for me. And when I got content with Jesus as being the source of my life, all of a sudden, God, like a tsunami, changed that situation in a very short period of time. It happened on multiple children's front, where all of a sudden there were no potential spouses on the horizon, and the next thing you know is they are on the horizon, and now they're a godly family doing great things for God. All three of my children have that. But they spent a lot of time hoping for an event, hoping for a relationship. Many times people are hoping for a healing, hoping for a job, hoping for a breakthrough, hoping for this or hoping for that. I want to remind you that 1 John 3:3 is not about any of those things. It is a hope that we are going to be like Jesus, that we're going to be conformed to his image, that when people see us, that they are going to recognize that Christ is a present reality in my life. A lot of times we will ask people, are you a Christian? And they will say yes. They may not, you know, have many of the characteristics, but they identify as a Christian. Let me tell you how that word came into being. In Antioch, there were a group of believers who had a hope in them that they were going to be able to become as much like Jesus as they possibly could be. They were going to serve like Jesus. They were going to love like Jesus, have a relationship with the Father like Jesus. They wanted to do the things that Jesus did. They wanted to know the Word the way that Jesus knew the Word. They wanted to touch as many people's lives as they possibly could. And this group of believers began to touch their city to such a great extent that the non-believers gave them a name. They called them Christians. They didn't give them the name Christian, which means little Christ. They weren't doing that because of their philosophical persuasion. They were not doing that because of, you know, that the people were saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. They called them Christians because their spiritual development was making them, conforming them to the image of Christ instead of being conformed to the image of this world. They were being transformed from unbelievers to believers, from people who were faithless, they were being transformed into people who were faithful. Today, that promise is ours. We're given the spiritual privilege of not just being the children of God, but being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I pray that 1 John 3:3, as well as verse 2, would become a very desirable and motivating factor in our life. Who you are has not yet been revealed, but what you and I can become is much more than what society believes is possible. And it happens not accidentally, but intentionally, when we seek God, as we seek to understand Him, to know Him, to love Him, to do life with Him, then all of a sudden we are going to see Him as He is, instead of the way that philosophy is trying to diminish Him into being seen and understood. We will see Him as He really is. And when that happens, we're going to want to be like Him. And I pray that in 2025, I am more like Jesus than I ever was. So several years ago, we did a spiritual health assessment at the church. And we asked the church several questions. And one of those, I'll never forget this question, is, does your pastor remind you of Jesus? And by that, it was talking not about my message, but about my life. And there weren't a tremendous number of responses that were turned in. One of them, they were all anonymous, and one of them said, no, not so much. And I was like, God, I want to make that statement no longer possible. I want to become as much like You as I possibly can. In 2025, let's launch into uncharted territory. May at the end of this year be it true of all of us that we are much more like Jesus in December than we were in January. And let's not let that be the climax of our spiritual development, but just another step. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Bill and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get